for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast that for 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in the games media department. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at...
Sorry, I was really loud in my ear hole for a second.
Are you good?
Yeah, we're good. Keep going.
Okay, cool. This... fuck's sake. Just start again.
No, keep going.
This PlayStation podcast happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTube. But if you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com, say shop. We're going to buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Hey, Max.
Yeah, mate.
I'm going to tell you a story. All right. Yeah, it's a good story. It's one where I almost burnt my house down. Now, just before I even start the story, are you surprised?
No, not at all.
That's my thought. So what was your question, sorry?
Did you do what my wife did?
Which was?
Did you just leave food on the stove and forget that it was on the stove?
No, no. So I will share the story, but I like that one. I want to hear that one too. It's pretty fantastic. So Thursday night, we had our usual hangout as we normally do. So it was myself, my housemate Ange, my partner Phoebe, and our good friend Craig. So we came around, but make things a little bit different. My other good friend, Paris, joined us. I haven't seen Paris in God knows how long. Pardon me. Like, obviously, he and I used to work together. It was fantastic. But since then, you know, we just don't catch up as much as we normally do. So he came around. The idea was like, hey, let's have a barbecue. We'll put the fire on around the side. Spoilers, that wasn't the dangerous part. And we'll have a barbecue, right? Cool. Easy, dumb. Having a barbecue. Cook some chicken skewers, no issue at all. Fine. Put some sausages on there. And these must have been some of them greasy sausages, right? Because, so I have a Weber Q, so it's all really quite self-contained. It's, you know, there's a little bit of flame coming in. I'm like, oh, it happens occasionally, you know. It's maybe there's a little bit of grease on the sausages or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. Not paying too much attention to it. Now, mind you, I'm a little under the influence at this point in time. A couple of drinks. And then Ange, my housemate, goes, hey, Ryan, the barbecue is smoking. And I go, Ange, it's a barbecue. It's what happens. And then, because at this point, I turn around. And I go, it's what barbecues do. It's what they find. Then Paris kind of like, hey, look behind you. And I turn around. And it is noticeably more flames than there was a moment ago. And like, we're talking probably yay high out of the little Weber Q. And it's a baby Q, right? It's not a big honking barbecue. It's a tiny little one. I'm like, that's not good.
Hey, so... Wait, because when you're saying it's a little baby one, are you talking about like the stove top Weber, like the bench top Weber that you could just plug in?
No, it's still gas powered or whatever. Like you still got to have a doohickey, but it's the smaller one. Okay. I'm like, well, that's not fucking good. So I kill the gas, kill the bottom. It's still going. I'm like, this is not good. And then, of course, whilst it's doing, it's burning this sausage fat. All these, the sausages that were on there and the burgers, obliterated. They're fucked. They are long gone. Charcoal outside, fresh, gooey, meaty insides. Beautiful. Craig still ate one because he's insane. He didn't realize. He was like, had a bite and went, oh, this is raw. Yeah, and kept eating it anyway. Because, you know, while there's this potential fire going on, he hasn't moved from his seat because he's very comfortable in his hoodie. So of course, smoke pummeling out of the Weber Q. It goes into the house because we had the front door open. Both my fire alarms, like both smoke alarms, going bonkers. So we've like opened doors, turned fans on, just getting it all out. Fire's still going, by the way. Because I'm like, this is crazy. What am I going to do? So I was like, shit, all right, I know what I'm going to do. And it was totally a bad choice. And I knew as I was doing it, it was a bad choice. So I went in the kitchen, grabbed a small bowl, put a little bit of water in it. Just a little bit, right? Now, I knew what it was going to do. I knew it was going to kick it up. So I was like, okay, but I had a plan. Because I'm like, well, I've got nothing that I can suffocate the fire with because it's a barbecue. And then remembering it's a fucking barbecue, I can just close the lid. So what I did, threw a little bit of water in, got it, kicked the fire up, and then I closed the lid immediately. And by the kicking of the fire up, it, and then just became a loop, suffocated itself immediately. But yeah, it was like, you know where my, you know my house. So in my courtyard, right next to my lounge room is where my barbecue lives, and it's right next to the window. And like, it would, my house is probably old and full of asbestos, and I think asbestos is very flammable. So it would not have gone well. Thankfully, no one died. No one really freaked out too, which was kind of insane. Phoebe was like the one that was like on it immediately. She's like, I'm going to go like stop the smoke alarms from going off in case anyone like thinks something's happening. And I'm just like standing there going, how the fuck am I going to deal with this? But yeah, no one died. Did all my set fire to my house. We kind of had to, you know, and then I forgot that I booked an evening meeting with part of people for the gaming campaign we're running for work. So then I had to, you know, say, put out a fire, come in here and go, hi, meeting, work. Once again, under the influence because I forgot that the meeting was happening. Then taken aback by a fire. But yeah, look, credit to everyone involved. No one freaked out. You know, we handled it as calmly as could be. If it escalated, very different because I don't have contents insurance.
I have done something similar in the past. So before we moved to North Valley Road in the house prior to that, we had a nice little decking area with barbecue on it.
Mm.
And the barbecue was way too close to the weatherboard wall.
Yeah.
And it melted all the paint off the wall. And we had to go and do some paint matching and repaint the wall.
Just take some of the chips that have burnt off and went, can you match this?
Yeah.
That's not bad, actually. It's one of those, because it was a pretty cold night, right? So it was just like, the fire was very warm, but like,
and the lesson I've learned is we don't put our barbecue up against walls that are flammable.
I guess windows are flammable eventually.
No, glass does not burn.
Oh, sweet.
Windows are not, window frames are flammable.
Oh shit, there was a whole bunch of them.
But windows are not.
So what's the story with Ali? What did she do?
Oh, she just went to cook rice one night and forgot that it was on the stove and just burnt it dry.
Oh, is it like the pot was unsavable?
Yeah, it's pretty unsavable.
It's just one of those things, like, even with me and all my ADHD-ness and my ability to get very easily distracted, to my credit, I've never forgot something was on the stove. Mostly because I have that absolute fear of if I'm going to wander off, it's going to go bad. So, you know, was it to like care for your children or something, or?
Yeah, I think she was cooking Hadley lunch for the next day.
Okay, that's okay. If she's like, I have to poop, and then just left suddenly.
No, sorry, that was the rice. I think she went to bed. Because I went up to the room like, does it smell like burning to you? And she's like, oh shit, the rice.
Was Hadley around at that point? Was Hadley, you know?
No, it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, was she present as a person? Was she born?
Yeah, it was for Hadley for lunch.
Oh,
for
you did say that a moment ago. My apologies. Yeah, yeah. Because, like, baby brain is such a thing. It is definitely a thing. Like, the dumb things you do just after having babies is a whole thing.
So it was in this house.
Oh, so we're talking but you've got little baby Chadley, you know, like baby Oliver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mute in the chat says, I say get a rice cooker.
I have a rice cooker.
You have one now?
Oh, no, I've had one for years. I just don't use it.
I had a rice cooker till it blew up one day. Caused a house fire.
My rice cooker is one of those fancy bastards. It's also like a slow cooker, pressure cooker.
I had one of them.
Bread maker. Duvalaki. So when I've used it to make rice once. Because most of the time I'm just making a small amount of rice for my kid.
Yeah.
So like a quarter of a cup of rice. So there's no point using the rice cooker for a quarter of a cup of rice.
Mm. That's fair. Yeah. So when I moved into this place, this is for the rice cookers, by the way. We've changed the show. I never heard of a rice cooker blowing up. Yeah, so I bought this little one from Kmart because I'm like, it's just me, right? Like, I lived here by myself at the time. I didn't have Ange. I was like, cool. Sorry. Oh, I love Mute's clarification. I've never heard a rice cooker blowing up, and I'm Asian. So, like, they should be the expert, you know, in full racist situations of rice connoisseur. But yeah, I bought this little shitty one from Kmart. And I was like, yeah, it's just me. It'll be fine. And then one day, poof, and then it just fucking stopped and smoke came out of it. I'm like, well, that's not good.
Was that before the electrics got replaced in your house? Maybe it was just the house that blew it up, not the rice cooker itself.
Look, it could have been, it's very likely both of those things. Cheap rice cooker, shitty old house, could have been anything. In my house, the power just cuts out when it's raining. That's not good.
Yeah, no, that means you've got an exposed wire somewhere.
Probably. Probably. No, it's just, yeah, that and it's an old ass house. And it's one, I can't have my dishwasher and my washing machine and my dryer or even like any variants of those three plus another appliance. And my house just goes, nah, and just pew. But I run on two circuits. So it's interesting. Like, depending on what part of the house I'm in, I won't even notice, which is really inconvenient. But yeah, that's what I did this week. That's probably one of my key adventures this week, is almost burning down my house, cooking a barbecue, because Australia. Have you had any close calls of severe property damage this week?
No, but I thought I killed my son this week.
Okay, you took my pretty severe... I was like, oh, this would be a good story to open. And Max goes, yeah, no, they murdered my kid, let's go.
I had a mad panic attack. So on Thursday... I'd had like, so Ellie works in the offices on Thursday up in Melbourne. So she had to leave at like 7:30. Yep. I got home from work that night at 5 because work things happened that I was really shitty about, and it took me longer to get finished than I normally do. And then I couldn't get to sleep when I got home. So I think I fell asleep at about 6:30 and I got up at 7:30 to look after the kids for the day. So I drove Hadley to kinder, got Ollie home, fed him, bottled him, put him to bed. Cool. He slept for like an hour. I had a nap for an hour. He woke back up. I continued on with my day. And then at about 1:30-ish, he went down for a nap again. I'm like, okay. And I was talking to mum on the phone. And mum's like, why don't you ever sleep? I'm like, I can't. It's like 1:30 in the afternoon. If I have a nap now, I'm going to be fucked.
Mm.
So after I got off the phone to her, I think I fell asleep. And I woke up and went, oh my God, where's my son? And yelling, trying to find him, running around the house like an idiot. And then I checked the baby monitor. Motherfucker's still asleep in his cot. I thought that he was up and he had just fucking disappeared.
Well, see, because you're like Ollie is right at that age where they will fuck off with speed. Like, he can't walk yet, but he can crawl like a bastard. Like, I've seen him. So if you were like snoozing on the bed with him, because I used to do that with James, we would snooze on the bed, and like if he wanted to, he's out of there.
And like,
and your kid knows to jump off shit.
And his sister has a tendency to leave her fucking shitty little tiny fucking toys all over the house that he could easily swallow and choke on.
Yeah.
So I had like a mild panic attack for half an hour, thinking that my son had just disappeared.
Mind you, he's having the dopest sleep he's ever had.
Yep.
Being a parent rules. Mute asked, didn't Bluey teach her to pick up her toys?
No.
Well, she loves Bluey, but like not the learning part.
No, that's Daddy Robot's job. Maybe I have to threaten to throw her in the bin.
It's probably a good threat. I don't think I've ever had to threaten to throw James in the bin. See, I'm very lucky.
He threatened to throw out the window once. She got very upset.
See, I'm not sure whether they're... Sorry, I'm just going to have something in my throat. I'm not sure whether it's like, you know, causation or correlation with my son, but I've been very lucky. Like, James has been a really well-behaved kid for most of his life. Like, and I don't know whether it's connected to, like, him being a little ASD kid and, like, he's just chill and content.
He's just saving it to become a drug lord at 16.
Oh, once again... could not be a bad thing, right? Like, if he's willing to invest in his father, then
you've played a lot of simulation games.
I've played a lot of simulation games. We can make things happen. You know, I could benefit from them from the gish. But yeah, like I was very, very lucky with him. Like he's even now as like a 7 year old, he never really gets in trouble. I think he's a bit different at his mum's, which makes sense because where he's like he's most comfortable. He's comfortable here too, but you know what I mean? There's like that school days, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I'm just very lucky. He's quite a cool kid. But I know, yeah, Hadley might become a cool kid later. She's just absolute nonsense child right now, though. But you know what makes the kids bad? They say, Max, playing games. That's why we're so messed up, you know? Because like, if we've got anything from media, it's like, oh, games break kids. Oh, they churn them into killers and various things. So what games have you played this week that made you a killer?
Paw Patrol, Save the World.
Exactly.
Play that fucking game one more time. Hadley finishes it like every time she plays it now. She's like, Dad, I've got no rider missions left. Can you delete my save?
What, doesn't like, Paw Patrol have like a new game plus?
No.
That's lame.
But as for what I've really been playing this week is not much. I haven't touched Elden Ring since last weekend.
Mm.
And now they have released a balance patch this week that has completely destroyed the build that I was using.
So in a good way or a bad way? I mean, because one of the things you were planning on doing was like rushing with the set that you have.
They nerfed the fuck out of it.
But
into oblivion.
But didn't you say yours wasn't even that good? So why would they nerf it?
Mine wasn't that good until I got the rest of the pieces. But they've literally taken the weapon that I was using and just decreased its damage by like half.
Okay,
they've butchered it. They also there was an issue with an unintended issue where you know how I mentioned how you can hold a shield up and stab from behind it.
Yes.
It turns out you weren't losing as much stamina as you should when you were getting attacked whilst holding a shield and stabbing. So they've nerfed those down a little bit.
Oh, that's nice. I'm glad they made a hard game harder. That's cool.
You can't just infinitely dick stab people now whilst holding your shield up.
On a complete side note, by the way, it isn't connected to like this. Have you been following the discourse conversation around like Alana Pierce and her comments around Elden Ring this week?
No, but did it have anything to do with that clip that I sent you guys? It was completely out of context how she was referring to
the situational disability.
Having children and not being able to pause a game is a situational disability.
It is. But it's an interesting conversation.
And then everyone just kicked their arms up in a storm saying having children isn't a disability, fuck you. And I'm like, that clip is taken way out of context. Yeah,
because so the understanding, like, it comes down to how you interpret the term disability, right? It's something that it removes your ability to do something. And like a situational disability is it's a disability that only affects that encounter. Where like if you are vision impaired, you have a permanent disability. You can't see, right? But if you're in a room that is pitch ass black, that is a situational disability. You have the inability to see. Can you change it? Absolutely you can, because you flick on a light. But like the conversation was around Elden Ring, for those who don't know, and about how the inability to pause the game, and if you have a kid, is a situational disability, because that game continues to kick your shit in because it doesn't have a pause function. And admittedly, it is one of the reasons that I don't like that structure.
So there is a way around it. It's not ideal, but there is a way to...
You've got to go in the help section or something, or...
You just quit the game. You just go start quit.
Yeah.
And when you reboot the game, you'll be in that exact spot. Okay. And you can just keep going. Unless you're in a boss fight. If you're in a boss fight, it'll kick you back out of the boss room.
Yeah. And look, it's one of those things where, like, I understand what Elden Ring are doing, what FromSoft are trying to do with that whole thing, you not being able to pause online games or whatever. You know, that we've all had conversations with our parents at any given time being like, well, I can't pause the game. It's, you know, it's online or whatever, whatever. But it is interesting, like just how suddenly everyone becomes experts on accessibility and what is and isn't a disability.
It's so you can't pause buffer a game. Yeah. So you can't pause buffer the bosses and cheese it up.
Yeah. And like, it's absolutely like, I if there are games that I've played in the past where like, you can't pause in certain areas.
Mm.
So, like, why not just do that? But then I guess because the entire world of Elden Ring, as an example, or whatever, from Souls Born.
Because if they set the pause so you can only pause when you're safe, you're never safe. You are always under constant threat.
Yeah, like, yeah, that was kind of what I was alluding to that little bit. But you worded it way better than I could. But no, I just found that very fascinating to be like, no, she's correct. She's absolutely correct. And this is someone that has worked in disability supports for, you know, 5 years.
I think that conversation came up because a work document was released about the differences between actual disabilities and situational disabilities. Yes. And it was like an infographic. And I think she was just commenting on that.
So she did a follow-up video where she showed that graphic, right? Where the idea is that there's different scenarios.
Some person decided to just clip a section completely out of context and then just berated her for be like, having children isn't a disability. And she's like, that's not what I fucking said.
Well, yeah, that's from like a move. Let's just say, like, you know, there's three. There's a permanent disability, which you don't have an arm. Then there's I forget what the middle tier was called, but like, you've got a broken arm. So you are unable to use that arm for a window of time. And the third option, situational. I'm carrying a child. I'm carrying a bunch of things. Like, and it does use like IT terms and very logical based terms, right? Do you have the ability to do it? Do you not? You know, it's like a toggle on and off, right? Is the example that she used, and I agree with that. But I don't know, just bouncing off our parent conversation earlier, I don't know, it's always an interesting thing to sort of like look at.
Well, I will back end it with something that I have been playing that involved a discussion around parenting. So a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned about the Destiny 2 exotic mission Dual Destinies, which is one of the best missions I've ever created. I use the in-game party finder to get match made with a random person and play it.
Yep.
I wanted to do it another time on a different character. And I got in, and the person I was playing with, he's like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I've never done this before. I have watched a video. I know the rough idea of what I'm doing. Mm. He's like, do you have a problem with that? I'm like, no, it's all good. Don't stress. I've done this before. I can get us through it. As long as you're willing to listen, we can get through this for like not a problem. Guy's like, yep, cool, no worries. So we get through it fine. Like, he's doing well. We're at the final encounter. I'm like, hey, now's the time. Like, don't save anything. If you've got shit to use, just fucking use it. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I would have done this sooner, but you know, I've got three kids. And I'm like, I get it, man. I've got two. I understand. Don't worry, we've got this. Ended up doing it. Did it first try, no fails. Really fun moment. And he's like, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. He's like, thanks for having the patience with me to like teach me an easier way to do these things. Like, have a good one. Peace out. See you later. So that was fun. But it's just, yeah, it goes to show, he's like, you know, I don't have the time that I used to have. I used to be like a day one raider. Now I'm lucky to get a couple of hours a week in. Mm. And I'm like, I get it, man. Like, you know, it is what it is.
But like that in and of itself is something, like when people talk about the multiplayer world, right? And like how back in the day it was this, you know, quote unquote beautiful cesspool. No, it was just a cesspool. But like there are always random people that are in there that are cool. Like I remember when I first dived into my first ever Call of Duty multi, and it was Call of Duty World at War on PS3. Never played it before.
And there's just some fuckwit playing music off his phone into his
mic. there was a guy who was part of the squad, and he saw that I was getting my shit stomped in, and it was very much a circumstance of, hey, what's your build? What are you working? How do you play? And then he helped me build like a good kit, and I did slightly better, you know? And I was like, oh, thanks, dude. You know, like, hey, if you're going to do this, use this perk. And, you know, granted, it's probably because, like, you're bringing down the entire fucking team, mate. Pick your game up.
As opposed to me when I play with you, like, please be the distraction over there.
Yeah, yeah, you over go, there, can you do I'll, anything I'll, else while
I'll
I
just,
do...
I'll just kill the people shooting you, okay?
It's exactly how it went down normally. Like, just, you are the distraction, go be a decoy. And then there's that one time that every bot ever spawned at me, and you just... and you walked right past me, and they gave you nothing. And I'm panicking.
That was funny.
That was bomb. But mate, is there anything else you've been playing this week, or is that kind
of really? No, I've been watching a lot of TV, been watching a lot of Games Done Quick.
Mm, oh yeah, because they're doing that. Because you do like speed runs.
Dude, a dog fucking did a speed run this year.
What?
his owner made a custom controller for the dog, and the dog called Peanut Butter.
Good name.
Did a speed run.
There you go.
Yeah. So they hit a huge milestone. This game's done quick. They hit 50 million total raised.
Hey. After how many years? Like 10, 15 years?
Yeah. They've been doing it for a while. But on Friday night, they hit 1 million raised for this event. And then this morning, they hit 2 million.
Damn. So
Friday night to Sunday morning, they raised another million.
They are like legit. Like speedruns aren't my thing, but to their credit, like as a charity setup, they make so much awesome money for various charities. It's brilliant.
So this year it's Doctors Without Borders again.
Oh, nice.
Which is a fantastic cause. I kind of cherry pick what I watch. So they obviously on their website, they have, and beautifully they convert it to your local time.
Nice.
So you don't have to do any bullshit time conversions, but it has a list of all the games that they're going to be playing. So you can kind of duck in and out of what you want to play, what you want to watch. Sorry. So I find a lot more compelling than others because they have essentially what they call different blocks. So there's like the terrible games block where they play these just bullshit games like fucking Pepsi Man and like really dumb games. And then obviously this year they back ended it with like Elden Ring, Zelda, Super Mario. I think that the very final game to wrap out the show this year was the Super Mario RPG remake, which is pretty cool. But it just seeing these people break the games in such unintended ways, and it's really cool. Especially when they used to do like VR speedruns. Like one of the best speedruns I've ever seen was Super Hot in VR, because like they've got people doing, like as you know, because the game only progresses as you move. So they're literally like they'll clear a room. And they know where their teleport point is for the next room, and they'll yeet a gun into that room so you can catch it as you spawn
in. See, it's funny because I've done that without realizing. Like, I forget when I was playing, and there was like, I'd get my shit kicked in there. If I go back a level and I throw, like, you know, I think it's one of those top missions that, like, you go through the glass roof. So I just dropped the gun down there. So then when I beat it, next level, I'm like, think, ba-duh. Fuck, I love Super Hot. What a good game. Oh, what a good game. You know what's not a good game? Crime Boss Rock A City.
Okay.
So this game was on PS Plus last month, or as part of the deluxe, whatever, the middle Mahuzma extra?
I thought it was
an
essential game last month, wasn't it?
No. It's either on extra or it's a PS essential. No, it's on there. And I was like, oh, I wanted to play that because like, it had a really insane cast. It had like Chuck Norris and that dude who was in Hateful Eight, whose name escapes me, his main guy. Danny Trejo's in it. I think Heather Graham was in it. And I was like, okay. Oh, Vanilla Ice was in it. I was like, okay, this could be a thing. Let's have a look. Opened it up, played the first mission, and it's like, it's just, it's essentially Payday. It's multiplayer. You go in, you steal a bunch of things from a place. That was fun. That was cool. And then from there, it got a little weird. Forgetting who you're talking about, though, he was... Yeah, the guy that was in Reservoir Dogs. That guy, too. Same guy. I can't think of his name for the life of me. But, yeah, him.
Talking about Danny Glover.
Who?
No.
I'm talking about Danny Glover wasn't in Reservoir Dogs.
That's the other guy. Are you talking about Michael Madsen?
Yeah, maybe.
Michael Rooker. No,
Michael Rooker's in it, too, but no, not him. The first one.
Madsen was in Reservoir Dogs and Kill Bill.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was in Kill Bill. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, and he's cool. But yeah, and then it goes into this. It kind of pivots and kind of not where I thought it was going to go. I thought I was expecting like this campaign. And like for the small bit of time I spent with it, because I instantly went, huh? What the? Ah, fuck this noise. And it bounced. But it was just like, it very much feels like one of those games. Like we're going to load this up with a bunch of actors to get your attention. It felt kind of not in the same boat because there's not a lot of actors in Concord, but how Concord's like, hey, here's all this story, then it's a multiplayer game. Like, this feels like that same premise. I'm not saying that I was tricked because I'm sure this was more than advertised, but like, it gives you this big blockbuster feel with the amount of actors and this, you know, the cutscene, like the opening in cinematic looks fantastic. And then the second you play it, you go, oh, you are not any of that. Like, you are a weird multiplayer game, and it's kind of rough and a bit janky, and I played it at Payday over there. Very, not in the same bait, but like, you remember Brutal Legend by Double Fine? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Jack Black one.
Yes.
Where
yes,
it starts as like this over, you know, third person action adventure game. Then out of nowhere it goes, guess what? It's an RTS now. Whoop whoop. I'm like, what the fuck? Same level of like weird pivot. But other than that, not really played a whole much. Very similar to yourself. Like, it's like,
I did try out the first Ascendant for a while.
Oh yeah,
at launch this week, but it was fucking riddled with, like every live service game ever, riddled with fucking errors for the first couple of days. So I haven't played much of it.
See, it's interesting. It's like,
it has obnoxiously gross microtransactions, oof, even worse than fucking Warframe.
But it is interesting that like you and I are both in this weird non-game space. Now, Grant, don't get me wrong. Like, I most definitely have been playing still a whole lot of Elder Scrolls Online because that's what I do now. Like, my day starts with it. It's in my lunch break and my day with it. And just play for a little bit here and there. And it's still tickling that part of my brain. But in like, and I think part of the reason why this game's gravitating to me right now is because there isn't anything really insane to play. Like, I tried to dive back into Alan Wake 2, and it's still very, very good, but like, replaying the beginning of that game, and you're swapping between the mind palace, and in the game, you know, and like, I feel like it broke the momentum, but I see why they did it, to sort of build you into like the understanding of like the red string wall, and sussing it all out, and it's all set up, but it feels really disjointed initially, but I still love it, and I love it, but because of that, constantly having to pay attention, and this, like, it's just what I'm looking for right now isn't quite that, it seems. But I also don't know what it is I'm looking for, because there's, you know, we're in July. It's historically a quieter time of the year, and like, we'll reflect that later because there's no drop this week because we couldn't find one. You know, it is that quiet time, but in the new digital world, the last, you know, handful of years, there's always something dropping. So it's a little weird. But obviously, you know, we're in like August and September, I think we get like Astrobot and the Concord beta. You know, there's stuff coming, but like nothing that's like, gimme, you know? Are you feeling the same? Is like, cause is that why you're in that TV space at the moment?
So obviously my...
excuse me.
Obviously my excitement was... my big game for this time was Shadow of the Erdtree, and I hit that so hard, not like knowing that I would, but I think I played like 30 plus hours in the space of a weekend, and like part of me, and like I'm literally at the end. I've got one boss left to beat. I've done all the other optional bosses. Like, I've got nothing left to do but this one thing, and I've kind of just hit that. I'm now going to get to it when I get to it.
Mm.
Not in any rush to finish it, because I know that once I've done that, I'm probably just going to be done with Elden Ring. I've got the platinum for the base game. There's no trophies for the DLC. I have nothing left to do in this game once I beat this last boss. So I'm not in any rush to do it, because I know once I'm done it, that's it. I'm putting it to bed. So it's... but the other thing is, like I mentioned, now that Ellie's working a different shift schedule, I'm also going to work a lot earlier. So instead of playing games until 11:30 at night and going to work at midnight, I'm now going to work at 9:30.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, by the end of the night, I'm really knackered, and I don't feel like playing much. It's like my wind down is now I'm gonna watch some TV, or I'm gonna do this. Because, yeah, now that I'm essentially a stay-at-home dad but still work at night, I'm getting like 4 hours of sleep a night if I'm lucky.
Mm.
And I'm just like, my priorities have shifted a little bit, and I'm now just trying to relax as opposed to Like I'm still playing Destiny every night. Like Destiny 2 still sucked me in. But as of now, I'm not definitely like playing something.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just going through the motions of still being married to Destiny 2.
even later. Well, look, before we jump into the news this week, because it's a bit of a quiet week, we'll rip through this news pretty quickly. I thought it'd be fun to do, seeing as we are in July, as we mentioned, let's do a check-in of where we're at in our Metacritic draft. So for those that may not know, in January of this year, as we've done the last 3 years, 4 years? I have no idea. I think this is the fourth year. At the beginning of the year, we reach out to you guys, our listener base, our viewership, and go, hey, what games should we consider as part of our draft? And each Max and I pick 8 games from said list, and that list, and then judged by the Metacritic score of PlayStation releases, we go, okay, and then we see who wins, and it's just bragging rights at the end. I think, are we 2-2, or are we 2, I forget, like, I think you're in the lead.
I think it's 2-2, man.
Might be. So, Max, while you've got your hands on the keyboard, would you like...
I've got Metacritic open, ready to go.
Fantastic. All right. So, let's go with you first, because I think you won last year.
Correct.
So, we'll head into you. So, right now, and granted, these will change by the end of the year, but we're just going to check in. So, the top of your list was Dragon's Dogma. What is that sitting currently on PS5?
Dragon's Dogma 2 on PS5 is currently sitting at an 86.
Not a bad one. Your number 2 was Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. That did score really well from memory. I'm going to think that's in the 90s somewhere, it's, yeah? It's
89 at the moment.
Okay. Silent Hill 2, yet to release.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see, I suppose, because like I think that's going to be
TBD.
It's going to be an interesting. It's TBD, but it does have a date. That's a bonus. But like reception, we'll wait and see. Persona 3 Reloaded is your fourth one.
87.
Okay, so you're hanging around. So you're averaging literally an 87.5. This next one though, it's going to bring it down. South Park Snow Day.
Yeah.
So it was like, what, 60-something, I think, from memory? Late 60s? Early 70s?
Let me find it. 59. No, wait, hang on, that's for PC.
Oh, yeah, no, we need the PC, PS4. Or PS4, I think I only came to PS4.
It's fucking only listed on PC. It doesn't make sense.
So it didn't even get reviewed?
Hang on, let me find it.
So yeah, this was the...
It's 52. It's less on PS5. It's 52.
Ouch.
Its highest score is a 60 on the Switch.
Oof. The next one's not going to do you much better. Skull and Bones.
Oh, the Quad A game.
Yeah. It's going to give you a Quad A score. Let's go.
59.
Oof. Next one, Suicide Squad.
Oh my god! Are you sure I picked these?
Yeah.
Can I use the iPhone score? It's 83 on iPhone.
Yeah, but what's it on PS5?
60.
Oof. And your final one is Hollow Knight Silksong, which is yet to be confirmed for this year. So you got 86, 89, 87, 52, 59, 60. So you're averaging late 60s, early 70s. Not awesome at the start this year.
Mm.
Ready for me?
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
92.
Nice. Second one was Tekken 8.
90.
Ooh, boy. Here's where it goes rough. Broken Roads. So that was the CRPG made here in the Geelong suburbs. It reviewed not very well because it was a bit busted at launch, but it's been patched pretty heavily.
Okay, so here's where it gets challenging. It only has a review score on PC. Everything else is TBD.
Okay, what is it on PC?
61.
All right, I'm going to do 61 with an asterisk just for the moment.
You said Broken Roads, right?
Yeah, Broken Roads, yeah. Made by Drop Bear Bites?
Yes. Doesn't actually have that list.
Yeah, but the console release came after the PC release, so with it being a bit busted, I imagine not everyone jumped on it.
So there was one critic review done for PS5.
And what'd they put it at?
It doesn't matter.
Why is
higher than the PC score, but it's listed as TBD.
Yeah, it's not enough for it to be averaged out.
Yeah, it's 61.
Number four was Rise of the Ronin.
Rise of the Ronin. 76.
Okay, yeah. Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, doesn't matter.
Nope.
Helldivers 2.
Helldivers did well.
Yeah, it did.
81,
yeah, that's all right.
Hang on. Let me just... 81.
Pacific Drive.
Pacific Drive. $77.
And then Alone in the Dark.
It's a big old 63.
Oof. So, what, 92? Because I've only got one that I'm missing. I'm just waiting on Snake Eater. You're waiting on two. So, I have a feeling Silent Hill will come through for you, but Silksong, we'll wait and see. So, I'm looking at, what, 92, 90, 61, 76, 81, 77, 63. So, probably... early 80s, I think, if on average, if we have a quick math. Okay, there we go. So a bit midway through the year, I'm slightly ahead by looks, but it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Upon reflection, I think we both straight up winged it. Because I'm not seeing a clear strategy by either of us in our picks.
I think it was just, I think this year we only had 16 picks.
Yeah, we had less games to pick from, so we're in a bit of a tougher position. Judging by the look, yeah. So, well, that's interesting. So it looks like it may change hands as Chibampion, but we'll wait and see come the end of the year. Looking at that list of games, Max, would you have changed many of them?
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked Suicide Squad if I had anything else to pick.
Well, remember, I picked it last year and it got delayed, so I got a big old zilch from it. So at least you got a score from it. Stupid fucking game. All right, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. As we mentioned, quiet week this week, but there's still a couple things we can get out there.
So, Sony are having a homecoming this year. PlayStation will officially return to the Tokyo Game Show this year after being announced as part of one of the 731 companies.
Oh, just a handful.
Exhibiting at the event. This is said to be the most exhibitors the Japanese Expo has ever had, with a total of 3,190 booths showcasing the latest games and accessories both within Japan and overseas. Last time Sony had a presence at TGS, it signed up for 3 days of live streaming focusing on various PS4 titles releasing around the time. The biggest was the Death Stranding demo, which was complemented by an in-depth look at other games such as Final Fantasy VII Remake, Nioh 2, COD Modern Warfare, and Yakuza Like a Dragon. It hasn't announced any plans for 2024 yet, besides the fact that it will be there at the show. With the strong and persistent rumor claiming that Sony still has a PS5 Pro model set to launch later in the year, and unveiling around TGS maybe on the cards, when the PS4 Pro was revealed, it was part of a separate standalone event designed to show off the upgraded console and what it can do for its upcoming titles. The show will take place from the 26th to the 29th of September, 2024.
So back end of September, we will have TGS. I think the most logical thing is this demonstration of the PS5 Pro. But then again, it could also be...
It's after
Astro.
Sorry.
But Lego Horizons will be there, I assume, because that's what, holiday. Concord would be out by then.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Death Stranding 2.
Possibly.
Stranding Boogaloo.
On the beach. Look, what do you think their plans would be for TGS at this point?
I don't know what their plans are now.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing now, let alone 2 months from now.
They may show up and just not say anything.
Yeah. So, because they've announced that they're just there, not announcing that we're here to do X or we're going to have a showcase, they're just going to have floor space. And they're going to have a couple of booths. People can go, hey, do you want to play Astrobot? Do you want to play Lego Horizons? Do you want to this? And I think that's...
Do you want to buy some 6-inch figures?
Don't get me fucking started. So, all right. Well, did you put that in the news?
Yeah, it's called Toys to Life.
All right. Well, we're jumping to that. All right, let's go. Let me put that timestamp down because I got to go. That was beautiful. So, Sony this week has announced a new line of collectible PlayStation figures based on some of its most popular franchises, like the Horizon series, God of War, and Ghost of Tsushima. Collectively, they create what has been titled the Shapes Collection from Spin Master, which we know they've had a deal with for a while. I remember it being a story yonkers ago. Excuse me. The Shapes Collection from Spin... They are designed to be affordable, is the last little sentence here, if you're not in Australia. The first is currently a 6-inch figure of Aloy from Horizon Forbidden West. Pre-orders are now available at the PlayStation Gear, and when they're planned to be shipping in mid-August, and it costs around $48 to $50.
$85 in Australia.
$85, which is interesting because you can buy it right now. Like, no pre-order. You can buy it right now at EB Games. And it doesn't mention pre-order.
It says they're not available till August.
Oh, that's weird. Then why can't I pick it up in some random-ass stores? Or are they just those main stores?
Let me double-check, but I'm pretty sure it's specifically said...
Yeah, look, I may have got really excited, may have misread, who knows. So you'll be able to customize Aloy with 12 accessories, which are different faces, different heads, different hands, as well as a number of various weapons. Also available to pre-order at the moment, and shipping in September, will be God of War, which is Kratos, and Atreus as well, which is fantastic. But for Ghost of Tsushima, you will be getting Jin Sakai, and they've also added the inclusion of Vile, the character from Forbidden West, and all of them will be around about the same time. Speaking of the two Horizon figures, lead character artist at Guerrilla Games, Arno Schmitz, explained that they're, quote, based on the actual digital sculpts used for the game and something you can really see in the final result. We made sure the many articulation points made sense, and even the finest textual detail shows up on the figures, end quote. Revealing that you can even customize Aloy's hair, Schmidt calls them, quote, very poseable, end quote, thanks to the techniques used that maintain the likeness of the actual models. Jason Connell, the creative director of Ghost of Tsushima studio Sucker Punch Productions, added, quote, we're excited to have a new action figure version of Jin that fans can keep on their shelves to protect their home. Jin's ghost armor has so many many beautiful details, I should say, including intricate fabric patterns and overlapping armor plates that are integral to the design of his character. In addition to his katana, it's also always important to us to see all of the various ghost tools represented to capture his different fighting techniques, end quote. So I'm buying all of these, and they are living on the shelf behind me.
So apparently you are right. They don't have any in Geelong at all. You have to go to a Melbourne store for some reason, but you can buy the Aloy one now.
Yeah.
You can get it shipped to your house by Wednesday if you pay.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm just going to pay it to get shipped, eh? Which has to be a mistake, right? Has to.
$100 for a 6-incher. Why not?
Oof. And like, look, I am no action figure aficionado. I do have quite an extensive collection, and because I'm a giant nerd, and like I've got a cabinet to my right, which is full of Arkham Knight and Arkham Asylum and Arkham City figures, because I quite love the the artistic design of the Arkham games. And then behind me, we've got a bunch. Like, I do have NECA released a bunch of figures. Like, oh, the axe is broken. That's not good. NECA released these, like these Kratos figures, and I've got Joel and Ellie from Last of Us Part 2. I also have the Nathan Drake. So like, it's no surprise that I'm going to grab these. But all of these come with, all of these come with, number of heads, hands, figures, weapons, and like, they are technically cheaper than the NECA figures, but they're almost identical. So it's interesting that they've chosen to go with Spin Masters compared to NECA, and NECA has a strong history of making really good, well-made, strong figures. But
says the guy with the broken axe.
Oh no, that was 100% me. Yeah, no, I tried to cram that shit in there and didn't go well. And then I was too lazy and didn't fix it. So I just had it, had his hand on the broken bit, so just kind of held together. And because I just moved the figure, it fell off. Now, Max, you are not a big collector of figures and shit.
Not of these. Not
even the Ghost of Tsushima?
Not from any of these IPs. Nah, not from any of these IP.
What would get you?
Well, I have some Final Fantasy ones. Like, back when Advent Children came out fucking yonks ago, one of our family friends, he's a big comic book nerd.
Good kid.
Collects like big collectibles. He bought me one of the Play Arts Kai Tifa models from Advent Children. So yeah, but no, I'm not a huge collectible person. I mean, I have a few Funko Pops. I've got my Lego, but no, I don't. It may be if I had more of a disposable income. But yeah.
So Mute, just to clarify, as a US resident, I believe. Trust me, toy collector here, collecting is expensive, big time. Yeah, NECA made some, and even they have the Kratos. NECA were like 20 to 30 in the USA at the time, and these Spin Masters are like 60. So, like, I know that the Joel and Ellie Last of Us Part 2 duo is like 130, 140 bucks. Now, granted, I didn't pay for it. I got gifted to it by my lovely friend Dylan, and it was awesome. But I'm trying to remember how much the NECA Kratos cost. I think it would have been like 40, 50 bucks. You know, but like that's from memory. And this is also the 2018 God of War. So it's been 6 years and a whole goddamn pandemic that I imagine has hiked those prices up. But yeah, look, because I'm a giant dork, I want them. And I need them, quote unquote, for the shelf behind me. So, you know. We'll wait and see. But look, it is interesting, you know, Horizon, you know, in various incantations, not the right term, iterations is the word I want. Incantation is a spell, Ryan, you dickhead. We've got it, you know, it's being multiple games, it's being spin off into Lego, it's now finally getting action figures. There's the, you know, tabletop board game, which I still want to buy because I want to paint the shit out of a fucking Thunderjaw. But in line with, you know, The Last of Us and what going to HBO and God of War going to Amazon and there being Ghost of Tsushima movie, whatever, whatever. There were, like in that same announcement, they were like, hey, Horizon Zero Dawn is getting an adaption through Netflix. Well, it was.
Yes. Horizon Zero adaptations. after he lists a ton of them. Now, I will preface this. I have seen that headline elsewhere. It's the only logical one to use.
It's beautiful.
So, a new report from Rolling Stone claims that the TV adaptation of Horizon Zero Dawn is, quote, no longer moving forward. The news comes as part of a wider story concerning showrunner Steve Blackman. He has been accused of a toxic behavior by several anonymous sources who have worked with him on the show The Umbrella Academy. Projects that Blackman is attached to, one of them being PlayStation Productions and Netflix Horizon's adaptation, have subsequently been shelved. The other show was The Sparrow Academy, the spin-off for The Umbrella Academy.
So I didn't watch Umbrella Academy, but apparently the book was really good. Is it really?
So good. It's really good. Final season comes out in August.
Because like that's the one with Brendan Fraser and...
No.
Which one's that?
Not even close.
What's one though? What's that one? That's the DC one, isn't it? Fuck, what was that one?
The Mummy?
No. He was in the fucking robot suit. Yeah, like I know it's DC. I know Umbrella Academy's not DC, but now that I can't think of what the fuck it was, it's got to annoy me.
What the fuck? Brendan Fraser was in a fucking...
Yeah, he played like a robot. It was around the same time. It's not Titans. It's the same group based bullshit show. Oh.
Doom Patrol?
Doom Patrol! Wouldn't have guessed it, but that one. No, sorry, hang on. Which is the one with Elliot Page?
The Umbrella Academy.
Ah, okay. In my head, they're the same show.
I literally Googled Brendan Fraser robot, and it's like, Brendan Fraser, Cliff Steele, Robot Man, Doom Patrol. I'm like, okay.
Nailed it. Yeah, so it also took me a second. I wanted to make sure I got his name right, you know, obviously Elliot. But yeah, hadn't seen it. Heard good things. Heard the book's really good. You not being a bigger fan of Horizon as a larger franchise, I assume you're not really bummed.
It's not that I wasn't a fan of the franchise. I loved the first game. It just the second game had like huge like middle child energy, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, because
I felt that it wasn't going anywhere because it knew that it was going to do something else to finish it, and it had an awesome start, and it just felt like the entire second game was like plateaued for me.
But did you get to the part where like the old people come back?
I did like two of the fucking volcano things, whatever they were called. I don't even remember what they were called. The passes that you would get. The four major things you had to collect. I did two of them.
Oh, the subordinate functions.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Sub functions. I mean, two of the four or whatever it was.
Yeah, so when the spoilers for Forbidden West, by the way, like there's a great moment where, like, you know, they talk about in part of Zero Dawn is that like a bunch of people just fuck off in a space and then like they come back. And like that's
was it Earth all along?
Oh, well, we knew that. Like at the end of Zero Dawn, they're like, hey, this is Earth, right? And everyone's like, but yeah, like, they're supposed to come fucking back, and like that's the like that is that cool second act Cliff doohickey, which will then lead into the third game. But it's also like it doesn't just go cliffhanger ending. It's worth sticking out. I would say it's worth sticking out, but you're not going to, so it's fine.
I might, probably won't, but I might.
It's disappointing that. Speaking of Stranger Things, it's a Netflix.
It could still get picked up by someone else. Sony could take it elsewhere. It was just that it was signed on by this person at Netflix. So Netflix could put someone else on it.
Yeah.
Sony could take it and put it somewhere else. Like, it is possible.
Because, yeah, so what we talked about is when this got announced. Like, the reason I quite liked that Horizon was at Netflix is because the grand scale at which Horizon Zero Dawn would need to be made under, Netflix made sense because they would have had the budget, the teams to make the big CGI fest that it would need to be. Pardon me. So there's no mention. Now I could be wrong. I will need to look in, or I'm not correctly remembering. When they say like it's not in, is it essentially it's not in active development, like it's not moving forward, or is it Netflix have dropped it? Like, will those rights retain to Netflix?
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be the key thing, and that would help moving forward. Look, I, my moral part of me is very grateful that they're not like continuing with it just to support like some shitty dude. You know, like I like that because there's enough shitty dudes in fucking entertainment as there is. But it's a bummer, and I guess PlayStation want to handle it right, I suppose. But you know, it's one thing they should handle and get fucking sorted already. PS Stars, Max. So after nearly a full month of downtime, I should specify, it has now surpassed the length of the great 2011 PSN outage. Might I add? Granted, very different effects, but. For time, there you go.
It's almost a non-effect.
Yeah, most people won't even notice. But like, so yeah, Sony has announced its PlayStation Stars Rewards program is, quote, returning soon in phased regional rollouts, end quote.
It's currently only available in Asia.
Oh, we're not there. We're Australasia. The mobile PS app is now displaying a new message when the PS Stars icon is selected on the home screen, and it reads, quote, PlayStation Stars will be returning soon in phased regional rollouts. Thank you for your patience, and we are looking forward to welcoming you back, end quote. According to the PS Stars page on Reddit, select Asian territories may already have regained access. The USA, UK, Europe, whatever we fall under, will likely be given access once again in the near future. So, the question here is, Max, does this add to your tinfoil hat conspiracy of they killed it for a reason? Or is this them plant? They went to update it and it fucking broke. And like they pushed something to live instead of development. Like,
I mean, you look at how they handled it and you look at some of the screen grabs people have taken of like them talking to like PlayStation tech help on like the live chat. It looks like they didn't even fucking know it was broken for a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because despite the fact that they knew it was down, they were still pushing fucking campaigns to it. Like, people were going to be able to claim their shit.
Yeah.
So, they clearly didn't care. Because they put nothing on hold.
Yeah. And, like, I understand that, like, they need to, you know, it's difficult to communicate. And when you're working with so many different companies and so many different marketing brackets and pillars or whatever, like, it's difficult to disperse that information. But you also could. Like, it's not as if there was letters or telegrams that you could just go email, bing, hey, everyone, don't mention stars, please. Thanks, bye.
Just blast a fucking tweet.
Yep. Yeah, and I do, and to
and then have your stars team not run fucking campaigns while the service isn't available for people to use.
So, like, to your point, like, I do think that, you know, they probably had no idea, because very similar to the old PSN network, and probably still the same PSN network now, it does appear to be built on nothing but hopes and dreams, because it's fucked. And I think stars is like, you know, someone went, maybe, wouldn't it be hysterical? They went to push an update for like, hey, here's the next Elden Ring campaign. People are going to be so excited. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. And like, yeah, the regional rollout is interesting as well, which tells me they then either moved it to a different part of the back end. Like, why regional rollouts? It's not a traffic concern, because I don't think Stars has ever had massive traffic. Mm-hmm. Why the rollout?
Make sure it still works, I guess.
Yeah. Then why didn't they put it in like some fucking middle of nowhere country? Like just all of Asia, where pretty much everyone in the world lives. From a statistical standpoint, there are more people in Asia than everywhere else. Let's give it to the most amount of people, but I, you know, do they not tweet as much? Do they not cadence media? I don't know. It's
a stress test.
As long as I get my coins back, because I haven't spent any yet, and I would like to use them on something cool. And I hope, you know, not in like a reimburse, but like it'd be nice if we could get some extra kicks out of it, I suppose. That'd be nice.
Good luck with that.
Oh, absolutely. Quick bits.
Quick bits. Star Wars Outlaws has gone gold.
Isn't that a game out in like months?
August 27th?
Okay.
End of August, I'm pretty sure.
So, I mean, once again, for those that may not be aware, going gold just means it's ready to be shipped, ready to be printed on discs. That's it. There will still be patches, I assure you.
Mm-hmm. Exoprimal has gone extinct as Capcom ends support for new content.
Okay. Wait.
The game that came out last year.
Yeah, I was like, when the fuck did that game come out? Like, I remember we both tried to play it, and we both went, nah.
Zenless Zone Zero, Hoyo versus latest gacha game, has surpassed 50 million downloads across all platforms since it launched, like, 3 days ago.
That's disgusting.
And arguably, the biggest news...
For you.
Coming out of... Nah, just in general. Coming out of Anime Expo...
Oh, well, okay. Well, you didn't tell me it was coming out of the Anime Expo, the haven for the most important news of the world.
Bleach is finally getting a new console game titled Bleach Rebirth of Souls. And apparently is coming soon, and fucking Bamco are doing
it. Woo! What is Bleach?
How dare you?
No, I genuinely don't know. I've heard of it, and I know it's a popular anime, but which one is it? Is the one with the hat and the boats and stuff?
No, that's One Piece.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Bleach is one of the big three. The big three being...
Bleach, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer?
No, the Beatles.
Rolling Stones.
Cold Chisel, Steel.
AC/DC, Chill Your Chisel, Midnight Oil. You know, the big three of pub rock. Is it Sum 41, Good Charlotte, Blink 182? Oh no, Green Day. My apologies, Green Day, Blink 182, Sum 41? Probably the big three of pop punk. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Mike and Panic in the Disco and...
The Used. They would be the big three of the emo movement, absolutely. Of the mall emo, I guess technically that would be. Okay, well, no, seriously, what the fuck's Bleach?
That's an anime, obviously. Okay. And it is one of the big three, so next to fucking One Piece and the other one.
What's the other one?
Naruto, I think.
Why is Dragon Ball Z not in that list?
I don't even know. No, he's not part of the big three.
Why? Dragon Ball Z is one of the biggest animes in existence.
Okay, so the big three were all specific manga in the Shonen Jump magazine. Kind of kickstarted. Like, that's why it's not one of the big three.
Okay, so it's not the big three in anime in general. It's the big three of a specific kind.
Like Mute has put in the chat, Dragon Ball was big in the 80s. The big three was kind of like early 2000s.
But I watched it in like the early 2000s. That's when we all got it because of Funimation and etc.
Well, no, that's incorrect because I was watching it in like the 90s before primary school. So don't talk shit.
Holy shit. I am way older than I thought. I finished primary school in 2001. I totally watched it in the 90s.
I still remember the morning that Dragon Ball Z got cut short because of the Twin Towers.
Oh, I forgot how time worked and now I feel really old. Damn. Like legit, that fucking rocked me for a hot second.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so they're the big three of the anime revival, I guess, right?
Sure. Yeah, kind of.
Okay, because like, is it... I'm trying to understand because I don't fucking know how your anime works. Because seeing how we lift off a bunch of random three for various genres of rock, right? Like, is it... Because like, I know there's obviously like the anime that's set within high schools. That's a particular kind of anime. Mm-hmm. And then... What?
Yeah, go on. I'm agreeing
with you. Like, does this then fall within... just a different like genre of anime and like all three of these kind of align in number of ways?
Yeah, not really. So the three are all kind of very similar in structure and storytelling. Can't think of it as an MCU.
Okay, that helps.
So yeah, so obviously they're all it's hard to explain. In a nutshell, but yeah, essentially it was the three longest running manga that kept that magazine going, kind of reinvigorated that magazine in that specific shonen style. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That helps because that's what I've been like. I was looking, couldn't find the word, but like, because yeah, like shonen is clearly that type of anime, yeah. Right? In the same way that Pokemon would technically be one of the big animes, but it's not because it doesn't fit. It's different.
Yeah. So like they're referring to like the new big three of like this generation would be like My Hero Academia and all that, which is like very Demon similar Slayer? To Dragon Ball, Demon Slayer, and whichever one this like 30 odd that you could pick from.
What about that Naruto? Naruto Boruto?
No one talks about Naruto, son.
Well, I thought everyone loved Naruto once.
No, everyone loved Naruto. What? His son, on the other hand, is questionable at best. We don't talk about Boruto.
Good Encanto reference, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right? Thank you. I'm glad you did.
Oh, it's like no one talks about GT. Okay. Man, like, I'm getting a fucking anime lesson today. This is not how I thought.
To be fair, GT also isn't canon.
Yeah, no, they made it not canon. They're like, yeah, we're going to do anything we can to not make this canon. Because I remember watching that as part of Cheese TV and being like, what the fuck is this? So,
You don't like androgynous dragons?
That part I don't care about. Like, I liked some of the various levels of Super Saiyan that they got. I thought it was cool. That part I liked. I thought it was intriguing.
Well, they just kept getting more and more hair.
Yeah, it checks out. Well, they did that. You know, stage three Super Saiyan was just hair. And then they got, like, I have black hair again. That's weird. And I got a tail now. I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool. When all, like, oh, no, the fusions were the late stage DBZ.
Mm. Yeah, because they fused for Boo.
Yeah, that's right. I did think about like watching like Kai again, or at least for the first time, because I enjoyed watching DBZ growing up, but I don't have the time to watch bajillion episodes.
If you want to watch a fantastic show that you probably watched as like a young teen slightly earlier, watch the abridged version of Yu-Gi-Oh.
I didn't watch Yu-Gi-Oh. That was just after me.
Yu-Gi-Oh Abridged is one of the fucking best shows ever.
Saying that though, because my son's getting into Pokemon again, like you know how he goes in and out of all these different things because he's a little ADHD, but he's really into Pokemon again right now. Good cards, like he's back in the card game, which is awesome fun. But he's also, pardon me, finally open to the TV series. I'm like, let's go. Fuck, that show is like so painfully formulaic. It's a tough watch if you watch any more than like three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad. It's really sad.
And it goes forever.
It does. And no one ever fucking ages, but shit. Like, no one ages, but they're very aware that time is a thing. You know, they're like, oh, it's, you know, there's all these different seasons and things and whatever, Mahuzma, and there's like, oh, all these things. I'm still 11, though. I'm like, you...
Still haven't won a championship.
Yeah. yeah. It's a whole thing. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for watching. That was our random anime chats at the back end there. But, no, we appreciate you all taking the time and listening to us bullshit literally about whatever the hell we think of at that very second. But it is always a pleasure. As you mentioned, we're at 350 something episodes at this point. We've been doing it for near like what, 6 years solid. It's crazy. And it's still good each and every week. Still fucking love it. So thank you. Much love. Hey Max, you need to go to work.
Don't remind me, man. I don't want to. Can I just get paid and not go in?
Oh, I'm like, dude, you don't want to close the show? Because we can keep going.
No, I don't want to go to work.
Oh.
I want to be paid.
Like, I don't want to do the show, and I don't want to go to work. So, this show is ending now, and then I'm also not going to work. I'm going. and then Blair comes in the last minute. Good on you, Blair.
Hey, your job.
You can't be mad at Blair, because his partner helped get your wife a job, so.
Yeah, she's stoked. She starts tomorrow. Woo. Training time.
All right, let's get out of here.
That's funny. After she did the interview on Monday, they're like, oh, well, we've got a few more people to interview. We'll let you know. And then they rang her back the next day. And her boss is, the team that she's currently in is getting disbanded and getting sent to everybody.
What, because so many people got into the new cons?
Not necessarily just to new cons, but everyone, yeah, they're getting divvied up and split into different teams.
Rad. Oh. All right, let's get out of here.
Anyway, as we mentioned, this PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those things can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to this on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. As well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players.
Oh, did you see the Assassin's Creed magic set came out this week?
Oh, they did.
Hmm.
Are you a little bit tempted? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I was quite tempted by the Lacana set, just because I don't know. I clearly just wanted to buy something, and I didn't buy it. Instead, I watched some unboxing videos with my kid. I'm like, yeah.
Hadley would just be like, "Is there an Elsa? Is there an Elsa one?"
Well, see, that's the problem. It's like, I like the old school Disneys. Like, that's what I care about. And that's like, here's all the other ones. I'm like, what the fuck are these? Just give me Lion King. Just give me Aladdin. Do I get a Toy Story one? Can I have a Toy Story set? That'd be cool. Give me that.
And then you're like, who's this Forky bastard?
No, Forky is. Forky's cool. You know, there's like, Mulan's all right. And there's like, here's this thing. And like, fucking Elsa. And I don't watch, I've never seen Frozen. It's nonsense.
So my daughter went and saw Disney on Ice. Oh, yeah. They went on Friday. She came home with an Elsa doll that looked like she bought it from fucking Wish.com. Awesome. It's got the fucking weirdest face.
Bet that shit was like $95.
$50-something.
Ooh. That's Disney gross. For you, baby. All right, bye.